There's one verse in the Bhagavatam where the gopis sing their songs of separation from Krishna. And they say that Krishna is glorified by poets. And one of the commentaries says that it's an indirect way of saying that it's exaggerated. But there's a little truth in that. I did have this dream. I mean, really, I was a very young devotee, but it was just an image I had that I'll go to Vrindavan and just roam, he radhe, vrijadevi ke, chalalite, feeling separation from Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And Prabhupada knew that. I mean, I didn't say anything, but Prabhupada perceived that in me. So one day in June, very early, he said, first you manage your father's estate very expertly, like Raghunath Das. Then you go to Vrindavan and become a Goswami. So it was a sort of chastisement, but in a way it was also a promise or hope. I would like to speak about Raghunath Das Goswami's feelings of separation after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates left. Many of them left. He wanted to go to Govardhan and give up his life by jumping from Govardhan Hill. And first he wanted to, of course, offer respects to Rupa and Sanatana. That was the depth of his feelings of separation. And when they met them, when he met them, Sanatana Goswami told him that I also had the idea of giving up my body under the wheels of the chariot of Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve. So you don't think of giving up your body, but you stay with us. And you were privy to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate pastimes at the end, especially. So we will accept you as our younger brother, and you tell us all about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's later pastimes, which he did. And we've heard about his renunciation, that every day or two or three he'd have a little leaf cup of buttermilk. So one day, Raghunath Das fell ill, and his devotees were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do to cure him. So finally they called a physician from Mathura to diagnose him and treat him. So the physician came, I imagine maybe took his pulse, and said, he is suffering from indigestion due to overeating. And his disciples said, it's not possible, because he only eats like a little buttermilk every two or three days. And Raghunath Das Goswami said, "No, it's true. Last night in the spiritual world, there was a big festival, and I ate too much sweet rice." So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was instrumental in excavating Radhakund, and he really demonstrated such great devotion and renunciation. Once some devotees in Juhu were informing Srila Prabhupada about some of his disciples who had gone to Radhakund and were basically living independently, taking shelter of the verse from the Nectar of Instruction in Padashamrita. And Srila Prabhupada made several points. First was they should begin with the first verse, Vacha Vedam, Manasa Krodha Vedam. First they should learn to control their senses. And then he mentioned Raghunath Das Goswami as the example of how to live at Radhakund and how he would chant so many holy names every day, how he would offer obeisances so many times to Vaishnavas. And he said, that is how to live at Radhakund. If you can live in that way, like Raghunath Das Goswami, then you can live at Radhakund. Regarding Tukaram's version of my parents trying to bribe me or bribe Srila Prabhupada for me to leave, it's true. It happened a few times in different contexts, but one in particular was in Calcutta. And it was basically what Tukaram Prabhu said, that my father told Srila Prabhupada that he wanted to give me $1 million, which was a lot more than it is now. Even now, I guess it's quite a bit. But then it was really a lot. And but he wanted me to come back to America to sign the papers. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can send the papers and he will sign. And then there was some discussion, and my mother was more concerned about my health. It was interesting that Srila Prabhupada said the Goswamis were sickly. At least I had that in common with them. So, yeah, my mother was very concerned that I get enough protein to eat. Because in those days, people really had the idea if you don't eat meat, you won't get enough protein. So Srila Prabhupada had a container of, I think he had two, he had sandesh and rasgulla. And so, and his sister Pishima was there, so he had Pishima maybe put a sandesh in my mother's hand and my father's hand. And he said, these are, you know, these are made of cheese. You know, these are these are full of protein. And then he said to me, you must eat 2 dozen rasgulla and sandesh every day. I'm working on it. A gradual process. And, but anyway, they did want me to come back, and my mother was very, she was crying, and Prabhupada said, you leave him with me, I'll take personal care, and then when I return to America in the spring, I will bring him with me. Then I said to my father, just see how intelligent Srila Prabhupada is. Because when it's pleasant in India, and it's too cold in the West in the winter, he's in India. And then when it gets too hot in India and it's pleasant in the West, he goes to the West. Now, by this time, my father was actually becoming very enlivened by Srila Prabhupada's association, very enlivened. I said, just see how intelligent Srila Prabhupada is. And my father said, yes, he is very intelligent. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, your son is intelligent, because he has understood my strategy to always stay where the weather is good. And my father said, no, you are intelligent, to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, well, I guess I must be, because otherwise how could I attract so many intelligent young men like your son? So in this way, it was really, you could say, captivating my father, who was not ordinarily an easy person to captivate. And at the end of the meeting, I can't go into all the details, but at the end of the meeting, as we were leaving Srila Prabhupada's room, my father said to me, I will say 2 things about your master. One, he's a brilliant organizer. And 2, he really knows how to deal with people. And in my father's value system, those are like the highest compliments that he could pay to someone. But he didn't forget, Prabhupada didn't forget. And after a little while, I went to Madras. And somehow at Madras, I was eating very well, staying at different sympathizers' homes. And I put on weight. And I also arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada, and he came. And when he came and saw me in my healthy condition, he said, you should take a picture and send it to your mother. So, really very, very conscientious, caring, and practical. So, he's really, I would say he's our everything. At least he's the source of all of our good fortune, our knowledge, our everything, really, for us has come from Srila Prabhupada, and we're eternally indebted to him. He gave us Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is just such a gold mine, such a treasure house. And he really wanted us to read his books. The other day, I think just yesterday, I got a letter from someone who I don't think I've even met in Pune, a lady who was just thinking about Srila Prabhupada's efforts in writing his books and how she felt that it was her duty to reciprocate with him for his effort by reading his books and applying them in her life. But she felt she couldn't, something was missing. She like wasn't somehow able to grasp everything and apply it. Which is actually a good attitude. As His Holiness Gaura-Govinda Swami Maharaj used to say that everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books, but you have to go deep. They're like an ocean, but you have to go deep to get those jewels that are at the bottom of the ocean. So she wrote that letter, and I really appreciate it. And we should do that. As His Holiness Indradumna Swami Maharaj quoted, I heard that Prabhupada said in Los Angeles that to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jadaya Madhai. So we do that. You know, that pleases the Lord. One thing that really impressed me when I went to the Polish festival tour, of course, everything was so well done. You know, the kirtans, the dramas, the question and answer booths where I was, prasad, I mean, mainly that was there. But what really struck me about my visit there was there was an overwhelming sense of happiness that came from the fact that Krishna was pleased, or that the Panchatattva was pleased. They were pleased, and therefore, because they were pleased, the whole festival site was filled with their pleasure. So there was the wonderful kirtans and dramas and little talks and prasad. But because they were pleased, everyone felt pleased just being there because of their pleasure. So that is our ultimate goal, you know, to please the Panchatattva, please the Parampara. And yes, it is a philosophical truth that if they're pleased, everyone will be pleased. But it's actually an experience that we can have, you know, tangibly. And I experienced that on the Polish festival tour. So I'm sure the Panchatattva here are pleased. We're definitely pleased. And I'm grateful. I mean, I'm like, earlier on I was thinking of this verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, beautiful verse that I think of. And in the verse, I'm not able to recall the Bengali, but he says something like, I'm lame and I'm slipping at every step. May the saints, the sadhus, give me support with the stick of their mercy. And that's really how I feel all the time. And if I don't, I know I'm in trouble. And I feel that way with the stick here, sticks here, and sticks everywhere. And I pray to always have that association to support me. And I wish to say that for all of you. Hare Krishna.